Well, this is a red letter day because we get to go, we finished a chapter. So now we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First, that's chapter 5, verse 1. Well, we have to, in verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I guess the first question is, why would these words be comforting?
Eternal life in Christ.
No, it's the fact that you're not sorrow for the people that have died. It's because you comfort one another with these words, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are remain. It always confuses me in a way why it would happen that way. Why there has to be some believers that remain. Why not when the bride is finally complete, then the end has come? Because anyway, that's another story. I guess so that we could get this confusing doctrine of the rapture. Anyhow, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The times and seasons are two different words that are used for time. One is, the times is chronos, and the seasons is karyos. And the better translation of karyos is set times. So of the times in linear times, and of the set times, and it's obviously the set times always refer to the feasts. Of the times and the seasons, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, how do they know that perfectly? Huh?
Well, they've celebrated the feasts, so they knew that.
That's right. Verse 2 is yourselves, is this word autos, where we get the word automatic. It's you know this within yourself somehow. You know this more than likely from the Spirit of the Lord. And you know perfectly, or a better word, it's better described as accurately or exactly. You know that this mystery is happening. You know it. They knew it because they studied each of the set times of the Lord. They knew that all of the set times of the Lord had been completed except the final celebration in the air of, or in out of time of the Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody understand that? That every one of the feast days had been completed, fulfilled is the way it's talked about. The last one that was to be fulfilled, it could only be fulfilled totally in the New Jerusalem. And so that's why they knew perfectly that the time could come at any time. Now, in all of, as we've said so many times, every one of the writers of the New Testament believed that that time, or the day of the Lord, would come in their lifetime. And that's hard for us to comprehend. So because of that, we put new definitions and new theologies and everything to try to explain this extension of time. Because they knew it perfectly. What happened? Know perfectly that the day of the Lord would come as a thief in the night. I think it's time that we study a little bit more the day of the Lord and see what it says about it, all right? It's preceded by an article, the day. So that points to its absolute uniqueness. Is that that's redundant. It's absoluteness of this day, that the day of the Lord. So let's look at a bunch of places where it's the day of the Lord. Let's go to Matthew 24 first. Let's start at verse 36. 32, I'm sorry. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until a flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But this, know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So that sort of sets the stage. Now let's go to 2 Peter 3:10. Or 2 Peter 3. The second epistle, beloved, chapter 3. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust or their own desires, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And you've heard me say many times, the better translation of that is, where is the evidence of his presence? Where is the evidence of his presence? And that's none of this will make any sense. None of this will strike you as urgent until you've known that presence. And it's not something that's going to happen in the future in terms of his presence. For you, the judgment has been complete. You're crucified with Christ, but nevertheless you live, yet not you or I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. What does that mean? It means that all that I can be is the empty vessel. Because I've seen and I know his presence. I know that he's been resurrected in me. I know that I know that I know. What?
No, I'm just relating to that knowing.
But the scoffers, walking after their own eyes, their own senses, will always say, where is the evidence of his presence? Something else has to happen.
Thinking of those times in the Bible where it says God has forsaken the earth.
Right.
Same kind of deal.
That's when you lean on your own arm of understanding, when you believe he has forsaken the earth. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Or where is the evidence of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, if you don't know now, there's never going to be anything that will give you the evidence. Because this presence is something that comes by the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, when your repentance is complete. This just makes me sad, because there's a whole world of people who are naming the name of Christ that are just like the Jews. They're waiting for Christ. They're waiting for Messiah. But he is come. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And the scoffers will always say, where's the evidence of his presence? The problem is that your mind is that scoffer. The moment you believe that something is wrong, then you're saying, where's the evidence of his presence? Do you see that connection?
Could we say at least they're waiting as opposed to not giving a hoot?
No, I'm just sad because they don't understand his presence. And that's... Anyway. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This is the reason that we're called Trinity Foundation, because it's named after the first atomic bomb. And the idea that when that bomb, or the one hydrogen bomb, it just dissolved. It's what this is. It dissolved an island. It was though the island never existed. Where did it go? But that same experience has to happen within us so that we, as the temple of the living God, every value system and every idea of right and wrong and every how-to that you've ever learned is dissolved by His presence. So you can finally and totally live in total 100% second-by-second dependence on Him. No, never again leaning on your arm of understanding for anything. Anyway. All right, let's look at some more of the days of the Lord. Ouch. Let's go to the Old Testament. They're all over the place, but I just picked out a few. Go to Isaiah 2. I was looking all over for it, and it had a bookmark in it. Verse 5. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east. Now you understand what you're being replenished from the east means. They're eating the sustenance. What they're gaining for sustenance is what's going to happen tomorrow. They worship the east. That's why... Remember, in all of the issues of the law and the burning of the red heifer and all those things, they had to be facing not east any longer. That's what the human race always worships at the east. They gain their sustenance or being replenished from the east. Israel had to always turn to the west, because there and there only is the night when that precedes the day, if you will. You understand?
The east was like the rising sun.
Right.
Kind of thing, and that was the future.
You're replenished by air. What's happening in America today? The world, the whole financial system. There's trillions of dollars that are dissolved. Why? Because they were built on air. The same thing as your grand ideas and sweet thoughts. They're air. You're trying to take God where He isn't. He's only in the now. Amen?
That's based on human hope.
Yeah. Again, remember the last enemy to be destroyed is the Jebusites of the seven tribes that were on the land that... The Jebusites represented hope, human hope, the expectation of some good thing. That's one of my favorite cliche is Chesterton. Optimism is cowardice.
What would pessimism be?
What?
What would pessimism be then?
You have to find your own quote to go with that.
No, it's stupidity, ignorance. Thou art, in verse 6 again, therefore hast thou forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers. Their land is also full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. And that's talking about all of these molten images within you. The land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Remember what horses are, the way they were forbidden in the promised land? because they meant it represented the strength of human, your human strength. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man or the obscure man boweth down, and the great man humble himself to these idols. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Day of the Lord. Go to Joel, chapter 1. We're starting in verse 13.
9:47.
We have a room full of Bible scholars. You find it, Ronnie?
Joel.
J-O-E-L.
I thought he said
Joel. I was in
Joel. Also.
Am I speaking with a lisp?
Enunciate.
Yeah.
Joel, it's, remember after, it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, Hosea, and Joel.
Hosea, Joel, Amos.
All right. Verse 13. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast, and call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty it shall come. Go to chapter 2. And the Lord shall, verse 11, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong and exalteth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Let's go to my favorites. Go to Isaiah, Amos 5.
What?
Amos 5. Verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it. The day of the Lord to flesh is the worst thing that you can conceive of. And yet every single writer of the New Testament believed it would happen in their lifetime. Daniel prophesied and said when it would happen, and it happened exactly at that time. The day of the Lord began. Remember, the Jewish days start at sunset when the sun goes down or the sun is darkened. The day of the Lord began at the crucifixion, when the Lord darkened the sun. And we've been in the night of that last day since that point for over 2,000 years. And this is why every writer of the New Testament thought that the day would come. We'll go to Romans 13. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law, and that knowing the time that now it is, and knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. To me, there's this and a jillion other scriptures prove that we've been in the night of the last day for 2,000 years. Why? God is waiting for his people to sit down. Totally enter the Sabbath and find out that the Sabbath is not a day of the week. That the Sabbath is Jesus Christ himself. And we rest from our own labors as God did from his. And the Sabbath as a day was another metaphor, a parable for the one mystery of Christ. Can you sit down and stay there? Sit down on that mercy seat, never again leaving it? Or are you going to be deceived by some perceived need or some perceived judgment? You got something to do?
You know, one Sunday... Not too long ago, you taught our Bible study. Weren't here, and you were telling us or teaching us about being distracted.
Being what?
Being distracted.
Oh yeah.
You remember that?
No, but I. What can take you off the mercy seat? What can distract you?
I think as long as you're being replenished from the east, you don't sit down.
Of course not.
And you're distracted.
You're distracted by your hopes.
Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1.
Speeding it in.
Yeah.
What?
We're speeding it in.
Yeah.
You're never going to get it.
We'll be here within a couple months.
When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Verse 10. Chapter 1. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Everything is about that day. Go to chapter 2. That's too much. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. Verse Start in verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you were enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm unto you the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of the Son, of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Everything is about that day. We could go on and on there. For those that are interested, it's First Corinthians 3:13, chapter 5:5, 2 Corinthians 1:14, Romans 2:5, Philippians 1:10, Philippians 2:16. The day of the Lord. We don't have anything in our language to express what it means for the definite article to be in front of us of the day, and when it's the, it calls to your full attention the uniqueness of that, whatever the follow, whatever follows the, when it's the Lord, it's the day. It's not like, well, okay, that's a day about many days. It's the day. Amen? Think on these things. Anybody have any response? Wait.
All the other days are different. That's the big day.
We've been in the night of the last day. 2,000 years. Does anybody else believe that?
That scripture that goes with that is that when the day star arises in your heart.
Right.
This idea of the precedes that dawning.
Let's go to 1 Peter. Find it. Well, it should be Mr. Rutledge that finds it because he saw it. He called it. He said it.
Life's unfair.
Ha! Ah. It's 2 Peter. That's why I couldn't find it. This is Peter's last letter. And he says in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet or necessary, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease, or exodus it says, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now that's pretty wild. James and Peter and John were in the Mount of Transfiguration, and they heard the voice saying, this is my beloved Son.
In a
So, then listen to what he says. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, we have a more sure word of prophecy than being with Jesus Christ in the Mount of Transfiguration and seeing Jesus with Elijah and Moses. What is that more sure? Because now it's Himself is in us. Amen? So you have to take heed now as the light shining in the dark place until in day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. It has to happen in us before it happens anywhere. Amen? That was a good addition.
I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Anything else? Are you looking for something? Are you going to share with us?
I'm just going to read where we just read because I didn't have a Bible to look at.
Oh, okay.
Second Peter something.
Second Peter 1. Take it, big guy.